Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. For a message this morning, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 26. And there is only one verse here that I'm going to read. And I have a lot of individual verses this morning that I'm going to look at. And as Jaron was having his devotions, I was trying to decide if this is a message of praise or if this is a message of thanksgiving. And I'll let you decide on that. But Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And the message title this morning is Peace of Mind. Right now, as I'm reading in my personal devotions, when I read this, I was reading in Isaiah and in Ephesians at the same time. And oftentimes, when you finish with that, it feels like you get more inspiration out of Ephesians than you did out of Isaiah. But this morning when I read, or that morning when I read that verse, I got more out of Isaiah than I did out of Ephesians. And I'm going to break this verse down and look at it word by word. And it might seem elementary, but I think if we can understand the peace that God has available for us, it's a promise that we won't want to be without. First word is thou. And thou here is talking about God. Something God is doing. Will is the same as will do. It's an action verb. To keep means to guard or protect, to maintain. So God will maintain. God will protect. God will guard. The next word is him, referring to the person that is trusting in God, the person that has his mind focused on God. And as I thought about that next word, in, you know, if you're in something, you're surrounded by something. We have water in this cup. There's ice in the water. We are inside the church building. We came to church in a vehicle. We were in something. Are we allowing God to keep us in something? Or do we think we need our own freedom? And I thought if we evaluate it as, and I struggled to come up with a good illustration for this, because when we put something in something, say we put a dog in a kennel, we put a cow in a barn, they are restricted. We are doing it for their safety. But God is also keeping us in for our safety. We can either look at that as bondage or we can look at it as freedom. The next word is perfect. To be complete or without blemish. And when God does something, it's perfect. And the last word of that phrase there is peace. And the Greek word for peace here is shalom, to be safe, well, happy or friendly, peace. Do you believe that this promise from God is real? Do you believe that being in perfect peace is an actual place that God has for you to be at? Are you there now? Have you been there? And do you know how to find that place that God has for each one of us? And the statement, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, doesn't end there. There's a continual promise, a conditional promise, meaning we have requirements or obligations on our part that we need to fulfill. The requirement for perfect peace is whose mind is stayed on thee. And whose here refers to the person that wants to be in perfect peace. And mind, Strong's has an interesting definition for the word mind.
It uses the word imagination. And this is one of these words that when you look at the first definition, it references the next definition and on and on. It uses words like formed, framed, squeezed into shape, like pottery, molded. Your mind isn't something that just is free reign, that goes wherever it wants to. It can, but a mind that is experiencing the peace of God is a mind that is molded to God's will. Stayed, to lean upon, to take hold of, to rely on, to be sustained or established. And to reword this verse, we could say, the person that desires perfect peace will have peace when their mind is leaning or relying on God, when their mind is established as something that is being used for God. And the opposite of that was the verse that I read in Ephesians that same morning. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And as I said, I'll be reading a lot of individual verses this morning, and you can feel free to follow along. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And this is the exact opposite of Isaiah 26. You either have a mind that is stayed upon God, a mind that is in perfect peace, or a mind that is filled with vanity. And so often we think that we can have some of each. And that is impossible. Vanity here means empty, profitless, depravity. Paul is telling the Ephesians that from now on they can't live like the Gentiles did. They can't live like the people around them. They are Christians, and that means they will have a changed mind. And I would like to think for a bit about the power of our mind, because according to these verses and many more, what we allow into our mind will determine if we are in perfect peace or if we are living in a life of vanity. And I can't stand here and guarantee you that you will improve your life by what you think about. That's humanistic teaching. And that is a religion or a form of belief that is in the world today. But according to these verses and many more, if we have a mind that is renewed by Jesus, we will have a changed life, and we will have a life that will experience the peace that is promised. There's a professor from Stanford University that says, our minds aren't passive observers, simply perceiving reality as it is. Our minds actually change reality. And do you believe that? That how we believe affects what we see, what we perceive as real. Probably the best known way the mind shapes reality is the placebo effect, where people get better if they simply believe they are being treated for a disease. For ages, that was viewed as just an experimental hassle, something to take into account when testing the effectiveness of a new drug, for example. Yet doctors are starting to rethink placebos, not as a hassle, but as an actual path to better health. After all, placebo effects and the underlying mindsets and social contexts that create them have real effects on health. From reducing anxiety and blood pressure to easing pain and boosting immune systems. The professor and his colleagues have shown that those effects extend beyond medicine, per se. People who believe doing physical work in a job counts as exercise live longer lives, regardless of how much exercise they actually get. Likewise, telling people that a milkshake that they drank was very indulgent of them makes them people feel full. Telling them that a drink they are consuming has caffeine in it will raise their blood pressure, regardless of if the drink had it in or not. And it's essential to recognize that mindsets are not peripheral, meaning they're not just on the outside, not just what we see, but they're central to health and behavior. If we truly want to tackle the diseases and crisis of our time, We need to more effectively acknowledge and leverage the power of mindset. And this was research that was done in 2018. The research says that what we think about is actually more important than what we're actually doing. The research says that what we allow in our mind affects our health. Does their research agree with what the Bible says? If you look up online how to have peace of mind, it will tell you that you need to spend time meditating. You need to spend time resting, relaxing, taking care of yourself. I believe that that is a scriptural principle, that you need to meditate in order to have peace of mind. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. I believe meditation is a biblical concept. Thinking about what God has done for us. Psalm 77, verses 10 through 13. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High, and I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And he starts out these three verses. He says, this is my infirmity. He had a problem. But he wasn't focusing on his problem. He was focusing on what God had done for him. As he was meditating, he wasn't thinking about his problem, but he was thinking about praising God. Psalm 19, verse 14. And some of these verses are very familiar. I should have gave the reference and see if, like last Sunday, see how many people knew them by memory before we go read them. That was an interesting exercise. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I believe that meditation is a scriptural concept to having peace of mind. What about our health? Does what we think about affect our health? Does the Bible say anything about that? Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, and when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Proverbs 14:30. And you might say that I'm taking some of these verses out of context, and I may be. However, it is mentioned here as far as our physical and our spiritual life of how it affects each other. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy is a mental, starts out as a mental thought process. Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. When you think of the light of the eyes, you think of somebody that has hope. And you can see eyes that have hope, and you can see eyes that have depression, eyes that are looking for hope, eyes that are seeking. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And what does God say? Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God knows that man isn't him, that man will not think the same way that God does. Man won't act like God does. And I don't believe in our finite minds we will ever be like God on earth. And yet, we have the redeeming power through Jesus that makes it possible for us to communicate with God and draw closer to him. And God knows our thoughts. You know, the people around us don't know our thoughts until they produce an action, until we verbalize them. But God knows our thoughts as we think them. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Wisdom on earth is considered vanity by God. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, God knows our thoughts, he knows our motives, and he knows whether they are toward peace with him or whether they are vanity. And Solomon has a bit to say about vanity in Ecclesiastes. And Solomon was the wisest person, we say, that ever lived. He was also one of the richest in earthly possessions. And yet I wonder if Solomon ever realized the peace that God would have had available for him if he would have chosen to serve him fully. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, if our focus is only on what we can see, we will only see vanity. We only see vexation. We will have the same conclusion as Solomon if our focus is earthly, that life is vanity. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And yet man looks at childhood and youth as the prime of life, as the people that can do things. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. 2:11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. And Solomon mentions vanity 29 times here in Ecclesiastes. And we only looked at four of them. But how do I apply these verses today? You know, Solomon said to his heart he would try mirth, he would try pleasure, and it all resulted in vanity. This year, people in the world will spend over $3 trillion on entertainment, through media, through movies, news. 40% of this will be done through a smartphone or tablet. And India and South Korea are the two biggest growing areas because those people are experiencing internet, satellite, that they can actually become part of the World Wide Web. The professional sports industry is not included in that $3 trillion. That is expected to generate $2.65 trillion. People that are spending money looking for satisfaction, looking for peace in their heart that they don't have. And you know, none of that $5.5 trillion is going to promote peace. None of it is going to provide peace. It is all vanity. There was a man and his child that were walking down the street, and this interviewer asked them, they asked the man what he knows about his children. And he said, you can ask me anything. So he asked him what their favorite subject was in school. Well, he wasn't sure. They asked him who their best friends were, and he didn't know. Ask him what their favorite food was. Well, he named some things, and he was wrong. But he had a cap on of a certain ball team that had won the World Series 15 years prior, and he knew every player that had been on that team. You know, our minds can hold and provide a tremendous amount of information. But what are we putting in it? What are we filling our minds with? And we can fill our minds with things that are sin. We can fill our minds with immorality by looking at pornography, by listening to sensual music, by reading romance novels and wrong literature. And James 1:15 says that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But what about other things that we could be filling our mind with? There's a lot of empty things, vanity things. You know, in the mid-90s, when I was a teenager, if I seen a Chevy truck on the road, and Sheldon would probably agree with me, I could tell you what year it was, by what color it was, what mirrors it had, what grill it had, what wheels were on it, just by looking at that. And that may not have been wrong, but it was vanity. Most of those trucks today are gone. If I would have spent my time memorizing the Word of God, that's still here today. I can still use that. And if you expect to find perfect peace in your vehicle, not only will you be disappointed, but you're also deceived. If you have a property that you live on, you can put a lot of time into that property, because nice properties don't just happen. And it might provide satisfaction in some sense, but it will not provide peace. Solomon said, as he looked at all the works that his hands have done, that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And if our mind is full of the things of this world, then we are like the Gentiles. We have a mind full of vanity, and we are walking in the vanity of our mind. So how do we get a mind that is stayed on Christ? How do we get a mind that is established on Christ? How do we find that perfect peace that God wants to put us in? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to realize that our mind without Jesus is vanity. But God has the provisions in place for us to have a renewed mind, a transformed mind, that as we give our lives to Him, He'll change our mind. A mind that will be focused on the eternal, not just on the temporal. A mind that is focused on relationships instead of possessions. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does the mind of Christ look like? It's a mind of humility. It's a mind of servanthood. It's a mind of sacrifice. It's a mind that loved his fellow man so much that he gave his life for them. Is that the kind of mind I have? It's the kind of mind I need if I want to have perfect peace. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Now I'm going to read those same verses out of the Living Bible Translation. Verse 1. Is there any such thing as Christians cheering each other up? Do you love me enough to want to help me? Does it mean anything to you that we are brothers in the Lord, sharing the same Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic at all? Then make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and mind and purpose. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister. We need to understand that if we have not been reconciled, then we are the enemies of Jesus. But through faith, we can receive the mind of Christ and the hope of the gospel. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, as I am holy. A renewed mind is a miracle that is only possible through the work of Christ. But each of us is responsible for what we keep putting in our mind. Research has shown that a person can improve their life merely by what they think about, by disciplining what they think about. But it's only the work of Jesus that can fill our lives with that perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, as a single footstep will not make a path on earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. And that's a quote by Henry David Thoreau. I'll read it again. As a single footstep will not make a path, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we will walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Now, if you want to have a mind that is stayed on Jesus, we need to spend our time filling our mind with thoughts of Him. We need to read His Word. We need to meditate on it. Spend time in prayer. Do you have a renewed mind? Are you kept by God in perfect peace? Peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's kneel for prayer.